All right, 1 John chapter 5. Let's go to chapter 5 and let's read verse 10. I was looking back through my records and I've preached several times on this verse through the years, different messages. I'm going to read this, I'm going to read in Romans 8, I'm going to read a verse in Galatians chapter 4 also. 1 John chapter 5 verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not, God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. All right, and in Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, the Bible says this, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Then in Galatians 4, verse 6, it says, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So, He hath the witness in Himself. Let's pray. Father, thank You again for the songs we've sang together. Thank You for the prayer time. Thank You for the Word of God now. Please bless it to our hearts and minds. Help us, Lord, to listen. I know everybody's tired, but I pray we'd perk up and pay attention on purpose in Jesus' name. Amen. Is that the air conditioner making that noise?
That's the potty.
Okay. All right. That thing's been freezing up, so. All right. Now, I don't know what you think of when you think of witness, but if you look it up in the dictionary, witness means evidence given. Evidence. It means evidence. It means a record. It means a report or a testimony. So, he hath the witness in himself. What does he have in himself? What do you have in yourself if you're really born again? You have evidence. There's evidence. You don't just live in hope so, and imagination, and wishing, and that kind of stuff. You have evidence. Faith is the evidence. It's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things to come.
Not seen.
Not seen, yeah. So the word witness speaks of evidence. Now when the soul has found peace in Christ, there is observable evidence.
Yeah, sure is.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just, I just want to say that. It's real and it's obvious when somebody gets saved. Sure is. The anxieties of the mind because of sin and the love of the world, they're all removed and it's at peace. The soul's at peace. The mind is at peace. The heart is at peace because you're not troubled anymore. You're not confused anymore. That's a mark to look for. When somebody says they get saved and yet they're just so confused, they don't know anything, and they're just continually upturning everything and looking for something, there's no peace there. There's no evidence that they have believed. When you believe, it's over.
Yes, amen.
I'm not looking for the way.
No.
I found the way.
That's right.
That's right. Yes, sir, that's right. I don't have to go digging around in every hole in the world trying to find the truth. I found the truth.
Yes, amen.
I don't need to find my way anymore. There's just a calm assurance that all will be well with you. And God will take care of you. The anxieties of your mind because of sin and love of this world, you know God's going to take care of you. The desire and love for material and carnal things of the world just evaporate. And they're replaced with the desire for the knowledge of the spiritual and eternal things of God. That happened to me. You know, when I really got saved years ago, I just lost my desire for all these things of the world. They just do not appeal to me. Houses and lands and cars and trucks and boats and airplanes and everything you can think of, they just look like junk to me. I mean, I'm telling you the truth. You say, well, that's the nice things of life. Well, it's nice to have a car to ride in. It's nice to have the air conditioning and all of that, but it just, I don't know how to convince you, but it just doesn't mean much to me. Never has. Not since Jesus came into my heart. The cares of life have lost their place as the priorities of life. I'm talking about the evidence that you have in yourself that you're saved. The evidence. The cares of life, they're not your priorities anymore. Do you live to make money? So you can live some more, to make more money? I mean, is your life about the cares of life? Is that your priority? Is there anything higher you aspire to? Is there anything higher that you want your life to amount to than just grubbing out enough every day like a bird? Yeah. And then when you die, it's all over. Dorothy brought me in a little clover flower a while ago. She's looking at it. I said, yep, it was out there in the yard growing somewhere. Nobody would have ever even known it existed if she hadn't brought it in. We were sitting here looking at it. Just a little flower out of millions of them everywhere. You want to be a person like that? I mean, well, it's okay if I am. But I mean, I do want my life to amount to more than just nothing. I read the obituaries and I don't know, I read two or three today. No services planned. Nothing. They died. Nobody's going to miss them. It's just as if they never existed. You want the, you know what they live for? The cares of life.
That's right.
That's all. They never came to know the Lord that changed their life about. And that didn't mean that much to them anymore. A tent or a cottage, why should I care? You ever sing that song? Why should I care? Abraham lived in a tent. I guess that'd be good enough for me. You feel that way? He said, oh no. Oh no. No, I couldn't do that. I couldn't live that way. Well, you better get a hold of something in the days we're living in. Ain't no telling how we're going to have to live in the very near future. So you better get some peace in your heart. And you better get some evidence in your soul that you're really born again. It'll be obvious to you. It'll be obvious to everybody else. There's a new view of God and of heaven and eternity that's come about as a result of our faith in Christ. We look at God different, of course. Now you know Him if you're saved. You know Him. He's real to you. You're not running from Him. You're not resisting Him. You're not fighting Him anymore. Everything turns around. You want to know more about Him. You want to be where His people are, where you can hear more about Him. You want to sing about Him instead of drinking beer and running around acting like a fool. He puts a song in your heart. There are realities. God and heaven and eternity, they're realities rather than dreams and imaginations and ideas that other people have. You don't just join the church. You don't just join up with this group of people that worship God and you're one of them now. That's no evidence. Anybody can come to church. Anybody can go to church. Anybody can do anything there is to do in the church. And be lost as you can be. That's not the evidence that you're saved. No, that's not the witness in yourself.
That's right.
The confusion is gone, like I said at the beginning. And the search for truth about God and salvation stops when you have found it. You don't keep searching. See if you can find something better. No, you do not do that. When you found it, you found it. And you're satisfied with what you found when you find the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So, that's what you see in a soul that's saved. Look in the mirror. Do you see that in you? You're at peace. You're at rest in your soul because you found the answer. You found the way. The search becomes about how to apply and share the truth of God that we know now. That's what the search becomes about. Say, so, you found it and you don't want to know anything else? So I want to know. Yes, I want to know more. I want to know more about Jesus. Remember the song? More about Jesus, would I know? Yeah. But what do I want to know it for? So I can know how to apply it in my life. So I can know how to tell others about this thing that I found. I don't search for the truth again. I'm not searching for another way that might be better. I'm not trying to adjust everything. I've found the way. Death has been disarmed of its terrors for those who have real saving faith in Christ. I've seen people who claim to be Christians who were scared to death to die. And they died in fear. Oh, that's bad evidence. Mm-mm. We don't seek death, you know. We don't have a desire to die, but we have a desire to be with the Lord. That's what the Bible bears out. And it's plain in the Bible. And if you don't agree with it, you just don't believe the Bible. He removes the fear of death. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15. That's what Jesus did. He took away that we had lived our lifetime in fear of death. He takes it away.
Yes.
There's been hundreds and thousands of people who've died martyrs' deaths through all of these centuries and thousands of years boldly and with grace and no fear. And how you explain that? Well, I'm just telling you that's the way it is. Death's been disarmed of its terrors. It doesn't terrify us. It doesn't scare us. Though we don't seek death, we no longer fear it because of the sure knowledge of what we have that follows.
Yes, that's right.
We know what's on the other side.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know. How can you be so sure? Well, you need to keep seeking till you find God and find the truth.
Oh, yes.
And then you'll know. Paul felt that way. Everyone in the Bible felt that way that was saying, why don't you feel that way? Why do you keep arguing and fussing and contending with this? Why do you fear death if you really know the Lord? That's part of the evidence that's in you. You're not afraid to die. We're afraid of the pain and the suffering and all of that. But to close your eyes here and wake up in the presence of the Lord, how can you fear that? Unless you don't know that you're going to wake up in the presence of the Lord. The longer we live in this world as a Christian, the more we look forward to crossing over into eternity to be with Christ. I know that's a fact. I've been around too long, watched too many people grow old that in the Lord, and the older they get, the closer they get, the more they're longing to just go.
Yes.
They're wanting to get out of here. They're wanting to just go on.
Yep.
The gospel has become the greatest influence on the heart. Now I'm talking about the evidence that's in us, that witness in ourselves, that evidence in ourselves, that testimony in ourselves. That record that's in ourselves that's obvious to everyone else and it's obvious to us that we go to bed in peace with every night. The gospel has become the greatest influence on our heart and on our affections and on our life and on our mind. The gospel, not the TV, not books, not any other thing in this world, not the news we hear, not some personality, religious or otherwise. There, nothing influences us more than the gospel. It's where we drop our anchors and there we are. And that's, it's the ship we're on. We're not anywhere else. We're guided by the truth of the gospel. The life becomes about God instead of about self. See, that's the big thing. Do you believe that? You believe that when somebody gets saved, their life becomes about God instead of about self?
Yes, sir.
I do believe that.
Yep.
I believe that people who don't have that evidence don't know God. I believe they're religious. I believe they're deceived. And I believe they'll bust hell wide open. He, if he doesn't have you all, he won't have you at all.
Correct.
He demands total commitment.
Yes, sir. Sure.
Just like you do from someone when you're going to marry them.
That's right.
You belong to him. He said, "Ye shall be mine."
Yeah.
That's right. Amen.
You're not separate anymore. You become part of him. He makes of the twain one new man.
Yep.
We know, you know, everything that we think and do and plan is brought under the light of God's word for examination first. That's evidence. When you see that in somebody's life, that they don't make decisions and they don't do things and they don't change things all up in their life without seeking God's counsel. If they just ignore God and they just do what they want to and what they feel will be the best thing for them and their family, that's no evidence of God. It's evidence if they're concerned about what God says, what God thinks, how this is going to please God or displease God. If they don't seek to do His will, there's no evidence that they're even His. I believe that too. We no longer esteem ourselves to be the judge and king of our life. You are not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. Yeah, and in your spirit, which you're hating. Yes.
Amen.
These evidences will be visible in the life of a true believer in Christ. I really believe that.
Yes,
now, then, this one other thing we'll touch on here. The fruit of the Spirit is evidence also.
Yes, absolutely.
If you don't have the fruit of the Spirit, you don't have the Spirit.
That's right.
That's right.
Simple as that. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Well, we'll read it here in a second. I think. Yeah, I got it written down. All right. It is not always by some inner persuasion or new revelation of truth or inspiration by inspiration. It's real evidence. The fruit of the Spirit is real evidence. It's not just make-believe or anything like that. Let me read it here. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 24. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. We've been reading in Hebrews. And it just spells it out so plain. You know, as we was reading there this morning about remission of sin. When you have cancer and the doctors tell you it's in remission, what does that mean?
It's gone.
It's gone. It's not even active anymore. Well, what does remission of sin mean?
It's gone.
But yet, the modern gospel is we're all sinners, just saved by grace, you know, and everything we do is just like filthy rags. And if I, even when I try to do good, that's when I do evil and blah, blah. I told her this morning, I said, why, how in the world can these people read the Bible and keep saying that stuff and keep believing that stuff? He died and his blood was shed for the remission of our sins. Not just a payment for sins past. No, he died, he came, and he died to take away sin.
Amen.
Not just leave us and pay our bail and leave us in the same old place we were in.
Yep.
Same old condition we were in. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, all things become new. The Bible is consistent and it's full of it all the way through. So the fruit of the Spirit is evidence. It's that witness in ourselves. It's not, the fruit of the Spirit is not things we do. These are all adjectives that describe our character, our soul, our heart and mind. That's what these do. Listen to them. What is the first one? Everybody knows the fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith. Meekness. Temperance. All right? Do you understand that those are not things that you do. Those are things that you are.
Right.
They describe what you are, not what you do. And so if a man has these, then he has evidence of the witnessing of God's Spirit with his Spirit. I've seen people who were mean as the devil and profane get saved. And I've seen this replace what they were. And they weren't putting it on and they weren't trying to do this. This is just what they were turned into. Just like your little caterpillar turned into a butter. Did it hatch out yet? Mm-hmm. Did it?
Yeah, I let him go.
See there? He's a whole lot prettier coming out than he was going in, wasn't he? That's just how it is. That's just how this works. If a man doesn't have these things, then he has no evidence. And he has no reason to believe that the Spirit of God is witnessing to his spirit that he's a child of God. How does the Spirit of God witness to us? Right here. That's just how he does it. These things we've mentioned and the fruit of the Spirit, it's just there. It's just there. Everybody else sees it. And every once in a while you back up and look at yourself and you see it too.
That's right.
You remember what you were. You remember how you used to think. You remember how you used to talk. And how you used to hate and be hateful. And then you just wonder at what God has done to your soul. He hath the evidence in himself. He hath the witness in himself. If they don't, then they have no assurance that they're the children of God. These things exist in our state of mind as well as in our outward practice. People can see it because it's what we are. In other words, you can't just practice the fruit of the Spirit by outward acts. It's the state of your mind and spirit before it is manifested outwardly. If you know, it's visible to other people when we try to fake the fruit of the Spirit or we try to conform to it in order to make others believe we have it. You understand what I'm saying to you? Fruit of the Spirit is love. Well, you can act like you love everybody. You know people. You've known people like that. Well, I love you and I just love everybody. And really, they don't. They hate everybody. Everybody knows it. You can't fake it until you make it. It doesn't work with this.
No.
You know, everybody can smell a hypocrite a mile away.
Yeah.
Young people and kids are good at it too. Their senses are keen about it.
Yeah.
If it's really the fruit of the Spirit, it'll be the natural habit of our mind and not just outward words and acts that we do on purpose to convince ourselves and others that we're under the influence of the Spirit of God. People read that verse, those verses there, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 and 24. They say the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Okay, I'm gonna have joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fruit of the Spirit is peace. I'm just gonna forget my troubles, and I'm gonna have peace. I'm not gonna think about them tonight. And that's not the fruit of the Spirit.
No.
Fruit of the Spirit is just joy, with acceptance, no matter what happens.
Yeah.
It doesn't wax and wane. You just have joy. You're happy because of things that are unmovable and unshakable.
That's right.
And that you have latched on to. You reached out. Well, how does he say? To eternal life? I can't. Well, it's
laid hold.
Laid hold on eternal life. Once you've laid hold on it, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
It's truly a great day when we wake up for the first time with the knowledge that we're right with God and have been accepted in the Beloved. And the evidence is there. And you don't have to ask any man. And you don't have to go to some preacher and say, do you think I'm saved? I mean, I went to that altar and I asked the Lord to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins. And then I was baptized, but I just don't know. You won't have none of that. You won't have none of that. Mercy at the poor people I've seen through the years, just like that in that state, and they live in that state. And I know people right now, I know men and I know women who have never been able to find the way. They've sat in church for 40 years and they're still lost. They're still confused. They have no evidence that we've talked about here tonight in their soul. No witness in themselves. And they're constantly looking for somebody to tell them something that'll make them feel like they're saved or they're okay. You know what's going to happen to people like that? They're going to die and go to hell. Right out of the church pew. Right out of being active in the church. Right out of putting all their money in the church and running around with all the preachers they could get a hold of and everything else. And it burdens me and it grieves me at people like that. But what Seth was talking about in Sunday school, Sunday's just right on the mark. They're just rebellious. They won't accept the truth. They reject the truth. They're always a-looking, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's a miserable way to live and a terrible way to die. Why don't you get something that has give you some evidence? You don't have to fool yourself. It's so simple that a fool need not err therein. The simplicity of the gospel, it's very simple. You just got to trust Him. You have to believe. And that means to commit and embrace and accept and believe Him and give up on yourself. Quit fighting. Quit trying to find another way. Quit trying to find all the faults in everybody you know who says they know the way. You better look to the Lord and to the Word of God and the truth, or you will never find the way. I'm not the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And anybody that comes to Him, He will in no wise reject, cast out. He ain't going to cast you out. It's wonderful to live with evidence. It's not self-deceit if there's real evidence there. You're not believing a lie if you believe the truth and laid down your burden. I mean, that's the gospel. That's the message of it all the way through. That old movie, the Pilgrim's Progress, where we showed in Mexico when the burden rolled off of his back. You know, and everybody would shout and cry. Because they identified with it.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
That's what it's about.
Yes, sir.
All my burdens rolled away. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you
rest.
Right. He didn't say, I'll give you a heavy burden to bear, and it's going to be a horrible life for you, and life of sorrow. And no, He said, I'll give you rest.
Amen.
He'll send the Comforter, and He did. We have comfort of the Holy Ghost. We have comfort in His Word. And then He said, comfort ye one another with these words.
Yes.
There's plenty of evidence. It's wonderful to just know you're saved. Mm-hmm. I've heard it all my life. They preached no soul salvation. That was their little catchphrase way back then. No soul salvation. But they didn't tell us back then how to really know so. And they didn't tell us about the evidence that'll be there if you really know so.
Yes, sir.
They just said, say this prayer and we'll baptize you. Now you know so. And a bunch of them didn't know so. And they never had no evidence. And it's turned into a big mess.
Yes, sir.
So I'm telling you tonight, if you don't have this evidence, in your soul, then you better do some seeking. You better do some searching for the truth. And when you find it, you'll know. Yes, sir. And it's not far away. We preach enough truth here. And there's enough truth around you. You can know the truth. If you will. Better watch that will in there. Better watch that stubborn self that's just a rebel that won't yield and surrender to the truth. It took it all out of me fighting against God. You know, I've made a lot of blunders and I've made a lot of wrong turns down through the years and out of ignorance. And I've often wondered about it. You know, we were talking about it this morning. You know, how in the world did we not end up like so many that we went to church with through the years? And the only answer that I can come up with is that I know what my heart wanted. And I wanted the truth. And I associated with and worked with and was influenced by people that I wish I hadn't never been.
Yes, sir.
But the difference between what was in me and what was in them is what's made the difference in where they are and where I am. You say, you're in a little old house and ain't got but a few, and most of them's your family. Well, that's... All is not what you see. That makes me a king. That's right. I wouldn't trade places with nary a one of them. And I'm telling you, some of them's making big money. Traveling around, got to life at ease. And I would not trade places with them. Because I can go to bed tonight with the evidence in my soul that I'm his.
Amen.
And I can wake up in the morning and look for him to come, knowing he's coming for me. And I don't have to doubt, and I don't have to fear, and I don't have to wonder if I'm right anymore, if I've made a mistake in what I believe. And I don't think I know it all, and I don't imagine that I've got everything perfect, but I got the basic things right. I am not searching for them anymore. Amen. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for the evidence, that witness in ourselves. It's what makes it all just come to life. Pray for everybody here, Lord. I don't want anybody to sit here week after week and perish out of our presence without you, without knowing you, without this evidence in their life. I know everybody's different. And it's like the preacher told me that time, there's always 20s, 60s, and some hundreds. Everybody's different. Got a different capacity for understanding and for living. And Lord, but I just pray that everybody here would understand according to their capacity, the truth of the gospel. And Lord, that there'd be evidence in their soul for them to see and for others to see also. Please bless this to our hearts and help us to remember it in Jesus' name. Amen.